Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Shiur Ramban, Parshas Pinchas. We had a little bit of a hiatus last week, and it's good to be back. The Shiur this evening is sponsored by Charles and Grace Korn, celebrating the bris of their grandson this morning, a son to Adela and Benji, Shlomo Ariel, and they should be zochah to megadol him l'tara l'chupa l'maisim tovim, to have a lot of nachas from him. And Be'ezus Hashem from the whole family. So mazel tov there.
Okay.
So I wanted to take a look today at a Ramban, which is in Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Yud Ches. The Ramban here discusses a little bit of the story that is related at the end of Parshas Balak, the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, where the Jewish people are enticed by foreign women. The pasuk in the end of Parshas Balak, Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Aleph, says Vayochel ha'am liznos el benos Moav. The people Klal Yisrael began to commit immoral acts with the daughters of Moav. What did they do? Vatikrena la'am lizivchei Eloheim. These daughters of Moav enticed the people to participate in sacrifices to their idols. The people, Klal Yisrael, bow down to the idols of the Moavim. Klal Yisrael became attached to the god Baal Peor. And again, we know terrible things followed as a result of that. In the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, we're told, "Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemar." This is Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Tezayin. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, "Soror es haMidyanim, attack the Midyanim, vehikisem osam, and smite them. Kitzorim heim lachem, because they are your enemies. They have attacked you. Benichleim, ashaniklu lachem al dvar paor." Concerning their plots, which they plotted against you, concerning this incident in Pe'or, v'al dvar kozbi bas nesi midyan achosam hamuka biyom magef al dvar Pe'or. And specifically, the daughter of the prince of Midyan, named Kozbi, was stricken on that day on which the plague struck Klal Yisrael. Again, you'll recall from the end of last week's parasha, Kozbi was a princess of Midyan. She was cohabiting with a prince of the tribe of Shimon, Zimri, and the two of them were killed by Pinchas. So because this princess of Midian was involved in this act of immorality, so Klal Yisrael are commanded to go and fight against the Midianim to avenge the wrong which was done to them, and we're going to read about it in next week's Parashat, Parashas Matos, how this directive was actually carried out. What's a little bit confusing in the psukim is that when we read the psukim at the end of Parshas Balak, the nation that seems to be most involved in whatever happened in Shittim, in that place, was the nation of Moav. Again, as we mentioned the beginning of Perek Chof Hei, it says Vayochel ha'am liznos el benos Moav. It was the daughters of Moav that enticed the people to engage in immoral acts and acts of idolatry. And we're not really sure how, when we encounter Pasuk Vav that describes how this princess of Midian was cohabiting together with a Nasi, a head of one of the tribes of Klal Yisrael, we're not really sure how this Midianis, how this Midianite woman ended up there altogether. What's she doing there? This was a Moav project, not a Midian project. So it seems like the daughters of Moav are the ones primarily involved, and yet the directive to fight is directed towards the Midianim and not towards the Moavim at all. How does one account for that? So the Ramban fills in a number of points over here. Some may be familiar to us from other sources, but the Ramban kind of puts it together again with his own twist. The Ramban writes in Yudches, Kasher Pirashti, the origins of this terrible plot against the Jewish people came from the elders of Midian. As we find at the beginning of Parshas Balak, that when Moav, Balak, Melech Moav in particular, saw that the Jews were coming close, he became afraid, and he went to the, elders of Midian seeking their advice. So why did Moav go to Midian? Why did Moav go to Midian to seek their advice? Kivohem nisyatsu mitchila. Because we see in general, says the Ramban, the leadership of Moav looked to the leadership of Midian for advice and direction. Vehem nosnu eitzas ola Moav. And it was they, the elders of Midian, who advised the people of Moav, shetizneno benosam imohem, that the people of Moab should send their daughters to commit immoral acts with the Jews, and they in turn would push the Jewish people away from Hashem. Even though this discussion is not mentioned explicitly in the Torah, but nonetheless, we have to assume that if the Moavim are doing something, they're doing it at the direction of the Midianim, because that's how these two nations interacted with one another. So right off the bat, the Ramban is giving us a, an important lesson over here. It's ultimately not the hitman who's the major villain. It's ultimately the brains behind the operation. The Benos Moav, the daughters of Moav, may have been the ones who were sent into the front lines in order to entice the Jewish people, but the Eitzah, the idea behind it, the brainchild, came from the Ziknei Midian, from the elders of Midian. So they're the ones, it's that nation of Midian which is held accountable. The Moavim are really just seen as, the dumb street thugs who are just doing the will of the Midianim. Va'od, sheshalchu lohem basmalkam liznosim mohem. What also causes the Midianim to be the major target of the wrath of Hashem is the fact that the Midianim sent a princess, one of their own princesses, to commit these immoral acts with the Jewish people. That's what the pasuk over here references, the fact that Cosby, this princess, was sent to engage in these acts. Kilule midas yotze amalchus nasa, kvodo basmelech b'midyon mativakish b'shitim b'arvos moav, lovo amachane am acher. The only way you could explain a princess of Midian ending up in the camp of the Jewish people is if this was a plot. A princess doesn't just go out stam. If a princess found herself in the midst of this mass act of seduction, it's because she was sent by the government itself, by the governing powers of Midian, which means that this plot originated at the highest echelons of the government of Midian. Ki Yisrael ba'arvas mo b'shitim hayu. The Klal Yisrael were at Shittim, as was mentioned. Mayayin tovu sham Midianis hazos. What does this Midianite princess have to do with the Jewish people being there? But rather, Aval Hoysa Yifas Toar Me'od, but obviously she was very beautiful. B'shalchu also Ziknei Midian Sham, and the Ziknei Midian, the leaders of Midian, sent this princess into the thick of the Jewish people, Ki Amru, because they said, and here the Ramban goes on to quote a passage that the Gemara quotes from Sefer Ben Sira, a book of wisdom which was known to Chazal. In Ben Sira it says, "B'toar isha yofa rabim hushchasu." Through the beauty of a beautiful woman, many people have been destroyed and brought down low. In other words, obviously there's nothing wrong inherently with a woman being beautiful. It's a wonderful thing, but it can be a dangerous thing. A beautiful woman can be the downfall of many a powerful man, and Ben Sira said this 2,000 plus years ago, and I think experience bears out that it's still true many, many years later. So it was the Midianim sent this princess, this beautiful princess, in order to seduce the Jewish people. The fact that they would have gone to such lengths shows how evil the people of Midian were, the government of Midian was, and how bent they were on destroying the Jewish people. Then the Ramban adds the following. Even though it's not explicit in the Psukim, it makes sense to say that Bilam, the star slash villain of last week's parasha, was probably involved in giving this advice to the people of Moab to send their daughters, and indeed for the princess of Midian, to be sent together with them to seduce the Jewish people. Ki b'shuvo me'eretz Moav avar b'midyan, ki darko misham v'hoya b'yarsei amalchus. When he returned from the land of Moab, he had gone to Moab in order to do the will of Balak. He was hired by Balak. When he came back from Moab, he stopped off in Midian because that was on his way back. And it seems likely, says the Ramban, that he would have been one of the sage individuals who was consulted by the people, by the elders of Midian for advice. It's perhaps the case that when Bilam left Moab to go back to his own country, he stopped off in Midian and he stayed in Midian for some time to see, you know, to see how his plot would work out. That's why we find at the beginning of Parshas Matos, when the Jewish people indeed waged the war against the people of Midian, it says Ve'es Bilam ben Ba'ar Hargu B'charav, that they killed Bilam as part of their war against the Midianim. And you know, you wonder what was Bilam doing there. You know, why would a war against Midian involve the killing of Bilam? Bilam was safe back at home, you know, looking in his crystal balls or whatever else he was doing back at home. So apparently, says the Ramban, no. Apparently he came back to Midian, he spent time in Midian, and unfortunately for him, when the Jewish people waged their war against Midian, he was literally caught in the crossfires. So therefore, according to that reading, that Bilam went back after trying to do the will of Balak, but ended up staying in Midian and dying there, being killed there by the Jews, it would seem that when the Pasuk says in last week's parasha that Bilam went back to his homeland, that it means that he went back to go to his homeland. He went in the direction of his homeland, but he ended up getting waylaid in Midian, and ultimately that's where he was killed. It would indeed appear that Bilam was actively involved in the plot to send the daughters of Moab and the princess of Midian to entice the Jewish people. Ki Yisrael lo yargu ha-misnabei rak birshus ha-Torah. It would seem odd, says the Ramban, that Klal Yisrael would have killed Bilam unless they had a direct commandment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do so. Right? In other words, the Klal Yisrael are not just into killing for the sake of killing. They wage war when they have a divine directive, a mitzvah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Laval kasher ne'mar lohem ki tzorim heim b'nechlem asher niklu lohem. So in this pasuk that we're reading here, where it says, fight against the Midianim, because they have plotted against you. The implication of the pasuk is that anyone who is plotting against the Jewish people in this context is subject to the death penalty. And that's what led the Jewish people to conclude that they had a right and an obligation to kill Bilam, even though, again, he was not a Midiani. He was not from Midian. He just happened to be in Midian. But they killed him because they were aware of the fact that he had advised the Moavim and the Midianim to send their daughters to seduce the Jewish people. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, kill the Midianim because b'nechleim asher niklu lachem, they plotted against you, it means Bilam also was part of that plot against the Jewish people and deserves to be killed as a result. So in other words, what the Ramban has just established up until this point is, why should the Midianim be attacked, being that primarily the women who were involved in this terrible act in Shittim seem to have been Moavios from Moav, not Midianios? The Ramban has established why Bilam should have been killed. He was neither a Midiani nor a Moavi, right, according to the simple pshat of the Pasuk. So, you know, why is he getting killed over here? What's left for the Ramban to explore is why the Moavim seem to get off scot-free and are not being attacked at all. So that's the next thing that he addresses. V'nei tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu linakim mehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here tells the Jewish people that they should fight back against the Midianim and take revenge because of this incident. Aval ala Moavim kvar hizer al totzar es Moav. However, the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not tell the Jewish people to fight against the Moavim as well, I mean, after all, maybe the Midianim were the brains behind the operation, but the Moavim sent their own daughters, you know, to seduce the Jewish people. The Moavim, you would think, in a certain sense, are even more at fault. So how come the Jews didn't attack the Moavim? So he says the reason for that was because there was a commandment already in place, al totsar es Moav, you are not allowed, you the Jewish people are not allowed to fight or to agitate against the people of Moav. According to the Ramban, this commandment, al totsar es Moav, which is a pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, Dvarim Perek Beis Pasuk Tes, this mitzvah, al totsar es Moav, don't agitate against the people of Moav, is a commandment that was given to Klal Yisrael way before the incident that took place in Shita. And that's not immediately obvious, because again, when you look in the Psukim and Dvarim, the Pasuk there appears in the context of Moshe Rabbeinu recounting what had happened in the desert, and there is no parallel Pasuk to that in Bamidbar. So it's not immediately obvious which came first, the incident in Shittim, or the commandment not to agitate against the people of Moav. However, as the Ramban's about to explain, in the Ramban's opinion, when we put all of the pieces of the puzzle together, it's clear that the Jewish people were first told, don't fight against Moav, again for reasons that we'll see in a little bit in the Ramban, and only afterwards the Moavim were involved in this terrible incident that took place in Shittim, but the hands of the Jewish people, so to speak, were tied. They had already been prohibited against fighting back against the Moavim. So even though the Moavim were very involved in the event in Shittim, the Jews were not allowed to take revenge against them. So here, let's see how the Ramban puts the pieces together. Kisrael b'tchilo bo el gavul Edom, v'sirim aleim v'nishmartem me'od. As is recounted in Parshas Chukas, the Jewish people first, as they were traveling through the desert, came to Edom, to the boundaries of Edom. And as the Pasuk says in Devarim, the Jews were told, don't start up with the people of Edom. Now that story is recounted in Parshas Chukas, that Moshe Rabbeinu sends messengers to Edom, and Edom refuses to allow the Jewish people to go through their land. And it says, Vayeg Yisrael me'olav, so the Jewish people turn away and they don't want to start up or get involved with the people of Edom. Writes the Ramban, after that story, which is described in Chukas, Acharikein bo l'gvul Moav. After going from Edom, the people go to Moav. That story is not described in Parshas Chukas. That we only know from Sefer Dvarim, from Parshas Dvarim. V'amar lo, and there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael, Al totzar es Moav, don't agitate against the people of Moav. V'acharichein, Omar, ata over yom es gavu Moav es or, v'korav tomul b'nei Amon, al titzurem. Afterwards, we find in Parshas Devarim that the Jewish people travel from Moav, from the boundary of Moav, to the boundary of Amon. And there too, the Jewish people are told, Al titzurem, also, don't fight against the people of Ammon. Leave the people of Edom alone. Leave the people of Moav alone. Leave the people of Ammon alone. The Amar, and then the Psukim say, Kumu sa'u v'ivru es nachal Arnon, re'eino sate biyodcho es sichon. Then if we keep reading Parshas Devarim, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, you're now coming into towards the territory of Sichon, the king of the Amori, and he will be delivered into your hands. He and his people will be delivered into your hands. So in other words, the the sequence of events is the Jews are told, you're coming to Edom, leave the people of Edom alone. You're coming to Moab, leave the people of Moab alone. You're coming to Ammon, leave the people of Ammon alone. Oh, you're coming to Sichon. Sichon you're allowed to fight against. And Og you're allowed to fight against. And those stories, of course, as we know, are, you know, about the wars between Klal Yisrael and Sichon and Og are described at the end of Parshas Chukas. V'achar kol zeh. And after all of that, says the Ramban, Ra bala kol asher asa Yisrael lo emori, shehem shnei malchei ha emori Sichon ve'og, v'nase ha inyon hazeh kulo. Right? And then, after the defeat of Sichon and Og, as is explicit in the Pesukim, Balak, the king of Moab, sees how Sichon and Og have been defeated, he gets nervous, he hires Bilam, and all of Parshas Balak happens. So what emerges from all of this is, in Cain, Asharas al Totsaris Moab Mukdemes L'mitzvos Tzororis HaMidyanim. If we put all of this together, says the Ramban, so by the time the incident in Shittim took place, and the daughters of Moab, you know, Moab and Midian teamed up together to entice the Jewish people in a terrible, terrible fashion, the Jewish people were already not allowed to strike back against the people of Moab. There was this pre-existing commandment, Al Totsares Moab. So, lacking any other choice, the only potential response that Klal Yisrael had was to strike back against Midian. They were already prohibited from before from striking against Moab. In other words, Al-Tatsaris Moab, says the Ramban, wasn't just a one-time commandment, as you're passing along the boundary of Moab, leave them alone, but in general, leave the people of Moab alone. You don't have a right to wage war or to do anything belligerent against the people of Moab. Right? So now we understand, says the Ramban, you know, why the reaction of Klal Yisrael is only to fight back against the Midianim, not to fight back against Moab. Now that still leaves the question open, okay, why shouldn't they fight against Moab? Why does Moab get a pass where Midian doesn't? So, I'm going to skip for a moment to the end of the Ramban, where at the very end of the Ramban, he makes the following comment, and this comment helps us understand why, according to the Ramban, Moav should get a pass. B'alderech ha-pshat od, from a pshat perspective, the following seems to be true. Eretz Amon u-Moav, the lands of Amon and Moav, Hashem nisana livnei lot Yerusha, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to these two nations who are children, descendants of Lot, Bavur Lot Aviem Sheshireis Satsadik V'Galo Imo La'Osa Ha'aretz, as a reward for Lot's devotion to Avram Avinu, which, by the way, wasn't so long lasting. Eventually Lot separated from Avram Avinu and went off to stone, but we have to give Lot credit where it's due. Lot served Avram Avinu. Lot left to go to Eretz Yisrael with Avram Avinu, so, you know, Lot deserves some kind of reward from Klal Yisrael. So the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Klal Yisrael, you know what Lot's reward is? You Jewish people don't fight against Ammon and Moab, these two nations that are descended from Lot. V'lachach lohir sholasos lohem ra'a b'yardsam. So Klal Yisrael were not allowed to wage any war against them. Now, the people of Ammon and Moab were not so nice to Klal Yisrael, as detailed by the Pesukim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that even if an Ammoni or a Moavi converts, he's still not allowed to marry the average Jewish woman. You know, they're going to be penalized in that fashion. But in terms of, you know, making war against Ammon and Moab, Klal Yisrael are not allowed to do so, as hakaras hatov, as a sense of gratitude to Lot and everything that he did for Avram Avinu. Right? So, according to the Ramban, that's really what's going on over here. The Moavim have acted terribly towards the Jewish people. They are just as guilty, if not more guilty, than the Midianim. But the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I remember the tova, the acts of kindness that Lot, the great ancestor of the people of Moab, did to your ancestor Avraham Avinu. So even though the Moabim have acted horrifically towards you in this incident, you're not allowed to fight against them. Again, it's a tremendous lesson, according to the Ramban, in the power of Hakaras HaTov, the Hakaras HaTov that we have, as Klal Yisrael have, to Lot, prevents us from responding to the Moavim in a way that would have been most natural, given what they did to us. I'll just add in the following. The Ramban notes that Rashi, in the beginning of Parashas Matos, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Beis, brings two other reasons why the Moavim were spared, you know, and the Midianim specifically were attacked. So one thing that Rashi writes is, "Mipnei shehamoavim asu mipnei hagira shohu sholelim osam." Rashi writes, quoting from the Medrash, that Klal Yisrael were, although they weren't fighting against the Moavim, they were despoiling the Moavim, and the Moavim, you know, were nervous. Right? So in other words, so the people of Moab, you know, did what they did because they felt that they were justified. And, you know, they really saw the Jews as being a threat. Avo Midyanim nis'abru ariv lo lohem. But Klal Yisrael didn't come anywhere near Midyan. They weren't threatening Midyan. They weren't despoiling Midyan in any way. So why did the Midyanim have to get involved? Right? So the Moavim are given a little bit of a pass, because one could argue that they, in their eyes, they were justified in attacking Klal Yisrael. The Midianim could not justify that in any way whatsoever. It came purely from a sense of hatred that they had towards Klal Yisrael, so they deserved to be hurt in a terrible fashion. The second pshat that Rashi quotes at the beginning of Parshas Matos is the Gemara in Bava Kamma, which the Ramban himself references in the part which I skipped. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says, Moshe Rabbeinu was surprised when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Al Totzar Es Moav, don't fight against Moav, because Moshe Rabbeinu said, the people of Moav are more guilty than the people of Midian. If I'm fighting against the people of Midian, I should certainly fight against the people of Moav. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, no, Shtei Predos Tovos Yeshli Lahotse Mehen. There are two sweet, wonderful birds that are going to emerge from the nations of Ammon and Moab, namely Musar Moaviah and Naamah Ammonis. Right, these two women who were married, who were the Rus, you know, was the married to Boaz, Naamah Ammonis married to Shlomo HaMelech. Right, so they were both, you know, women who played an important role ultimately in the lineage of Moshiach. So, you know, since these two wonderful women are going to emerge from Ammon and Moab, that's why you can't fight against them. It's in the schus of Rus HaMoaviah that Klal Yisrael did not fight back, you know, against the Moavim, even though they had done terrible things to Klal Yisrael. The Ramban quotes this Medrash, and he says, based on what I explained before, the Medrash is a little bit out of chronological order, because he spent, says the Ramban, I spent some time explaining how the commandment, Al Totzar Es Moav, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu before, way before the incident in Shittim ever happened. So, you know, the chronology is off in the Medrash, so the Ramban says what the Medrash probably means is that, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Al Totzar Es Moav, anticipating that Moshe Rabbeinu would be puzzled by a commandment to attack the Midianim once that commandment came about, and the prohibition which was already in place that one can't do anything evil against the people of Moav. Bekitzer, I think what we take away from this Ramban is the incredible, incredible power of Hakaras HaTov, that the actions that Lot did for Avraham Avinu protect his descendants many, many generations later in a way which is really quite spectacular. Even though the Moavim were as deserving, if not more deserving, of being attacked as the Midianim were, the schus of Lot and his connection to Avraham Avinu managed to protect them many, many generations later. Bez Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow night with more Ramban. Now we'll take an opportunity to say to Pitloch Tzadi Aleph 91 and Kuf Chof Aleph 121, followed by Misha Berach V'cholim. Yoshev B'Sei Ser Elyon V'Tzel Shaddai Yislonon Omar L'Adonai Machzi Umsudosi Elohai Eftach Bo Ki Hu Yatzi L'Cho Mipach Yokush Midever Havos Bevrosol Yosech Loch V'Sachas Kenofov Tachsem Sino V'Sol Chiro Amito Lo Siro Mipachad Loilo Mecheivs Yof Yomom Bidever Bofel Yaloch Miketev Yoshut Soroyim Yipol Mipsidicho Elef Urvavo Miminecho Eilech Olo Yigosh Rak Beinecho Sabir Vishilumas Vishoyim Tireh Ki Ato Adonai Machsi Elyon Samto Meonecho Lo Sunei Lecho Ro V'nega Lo Yikrav Bio Lecho Ki Malochov Yitzav Eloch Lishmarcho B'chol Durochecho Al Kapayim Yisonecho Pentigov Boev En Raglecho Ashachal Vofes En Tidroch Tirmos Kefir V'sanin Kivi choshak v'yafaliteyu asageveyu ki odashimi yikroeini v'neyu imonochi v'tzoro achaliteyu v'yachabideyu orech yomi masbiyeyu v'yareyu v'shuosi Kuf Chof Aleph 121 Shir Lamalos Esoi nai leori meayin yovo Ezri Ezri meim Adonai Osei shomayim voretz Al yitein lamot raglecho Al yonum shomerecho Hinei lo yonum velo yishon shomer Yisrael Adonai shomerecho Adonai silucho yad yeminecho Yomam HaShemesh lo yakeko v'yoreyach baloyla Adonai yishmar chomikoro yishmar es nafshecha Adonai yishmar tzaisucha v'echa mi'atov yad olam Mishaberach avoseinu Avraham Yitzchok v'yakov Moshe v'yaron dovid shlomo yivorech v'yirapei es acholim Bavu Shibalin Adonog Mistoka, Bavu Rams, Kharza Kodish Baruch, Huy Mali Rach, Huy Mali Yem, Bakhli Mali Rach, Husam Lach, Zikon Lach, Yosam, Ishtach Lehem, Eirof, Huash, Lehem, Amin, Ashram, Ayim, Choli Vari, Yem, Lachog, Yidei, Yem, Esau, Shor, Chole, Yisrael, Rufuas, Anefesh, Rufuas, Aguf, Hashto, Vagolov, Isman, Koriv, and Omar, Amen. Wish everybody a pleasant evening, and Bez Hashem, we'll learn again to go tomorrow night.